Today's talk is given by Cecilia McIntyre of the National Records of Scotland. Her talk is entitled Scotland Census 2011, How National Records of Scotland Are Making the Most of the Data. Cecilia McIntyre joined the National Records of Scotland in 2011 to work on the quality assurance and analysis of Scotland's census data. Previously, she had worked as a researcher here at the University of Edinburgh, from which she's also obtained BSc and MSc degrees in maths and statistics, and has worked in a number of roles in government statistics, including appearing in the UK Statistics Authority assessing official statistics. Cecilia has also been involved in the Royal Statistical Society throughout her career and is currently a member of the RSS Council, with a particular interest in statistical literacy and the use of statistics in education. She was a member of the ESRC Research Resources Board and advised on the development of the European Social Survey and the Understanding of Population Trends and Process Initiative, or ACTEP. She's currently working, actually, on a topic consultation for the 2021 census already, and is promoting use of census statistics in a number of settings, including schools, transport specialists, and also research into user requirements for information and data quality. So with all that, there really is no one better place to tell us all about the Scotland census. Sure.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for the invitation. I came to the seminar here about 6 months ago, and I just thought it was a very appropriate audience to speak to about the census, because obviously with your interest in geographic information, the census is presumably a very suitable source for you, and it's particularly good to be here at the beginning of the new course, because you might have not set your project up yet. So I'm just going to outline what I'll talk about. Hopefully it won't. I'll see how the time's going. This is sort of an overview of all the bits of work that we've been doing, from publishing the census statistics at the beginning to trying various ways of getting the data used. Nothing particularly innovative, but I think a lot of the time we've realised that, you know, you can publish statistics and it takes a wee bit more than that to get people to use it. So this is really the ideas that we've put into practice this time. So the first bit is just an overview of what is on our website, and I've got a few links to the internet, so I'll show you where you'll find most of this material if you already don't know about it. But like lots of official statistics and government statistics, we published what we call statistical bulletins, which are fairly kind of straightforward descriptions of what we've published. And the idea there was just to give the public an overview of what the statistics say, but get them out there quickly so that the experts can get using them. So there's a balance between what's in the bulletin and how, you know, obviously you could write enormous amounts about each and every bit of data from the census. So actually, just one thing, I don't have here a bit about the process of or the results from the census, because, you know, I think in 2015 we're assuming people have seen them already, but it is just before we get on to that. The 2011 census was one of the first censuses in Scotland to do internet capture, so it was a slightly different beast from that point of view. But apart from that, it was a fairly traditional census with a set of about 50 questions, but the website will let you see all the details of what's in our census. So in terms of other outputs that we produced, one of the questions in the census is about where you lived the year before the census, and that generates what's called origin destination statistics. So we've got lots of statistics about where people moved from the year before the census, and that's primarily to look at internal migration in the country. We've also got statistics on how you travel to your work or how you travel to study. So that's another aspect of the flow statistics that we've got. We publish products which are called microdata samples, and I think in the past they've been called SARs, samples of anonymised records. But what they basically are either 1%, 5%, 10%, depends on what level of detail, samples of records from the census with the actual variables in them. So that's the sort of data that people who are doing modelling can access. All the other products tend to be summary tables. I'll show you that later. But in terms of a traditional data set, the census microdata files are the main product. We're also producing statistics on not where people live, but where people work, and that's the alternative population statistics. When all this isn't the right product for people, which there seem to be still people that need more detail or slightly different versions of data tables, they can ask us and we'll produce an ad hoc table, which is described in our website. And the final thing we've been doing quite recently is, as I said, the bulletins tend to be really quite dull sort of descriptions at the moment, the way we design them. But we've done, in the last month, an analysis of Gaelic, an analysis of households, and an analysis of inhabited islands. So where we have time in NRS and we know there's a demand, we produce some specific tape reports. So anyway, as I said, I haven't really gone into all the results, but one of the statistics came out in beginning of 2012 and into 2013, we had lots of coverage. A lot of the interest was on religion, migration, and also a key finding of the census was that the population of Scotland was going up, and as we had been predicting over the previous 10 years, but the population increase was kind of confirmed using the census. We've still not had anything like the increase in population as in England and Wales, but that is one of the key uses of the census. Okay, so as I said, if you want to look at what's in the census, this is our website, and I'll just go over a few of the main areas at the moment, just to let you see, get an overview of how the data's presented. Now, as I said, one of our interests is getting the data used by a wide range of people. I don't know how many people here have used old censuses, and you're probably used to anything from 91 or before 91, it's big tables, big books of tables. There was a system in 2001 called Scroll, which people might have used. Now, that was probably at the time quite innovative because it was a computer system. You were able to download any data that you wanted on any area, but it was basically, by the time 2011 came, it was sort of past its sell-by date. So this is a system that has been used to replace it. And I'm going to show you what's called area profiles, just because this is the system that people like teachers, the public, find quite easy to use, because it basically just allows you to pinpoint where you live or which council area you want, and it gives you a few statistics on your area, so it's very usable. So you'll see from here that we've loaded 2001 data onto the system, so that means that was because the Scroll system had basically died. But you can now get the other data in the same way. And in terms of the geographic areas that are used to output the statistics, output area is the smallest area you can select, and that's around 50 households. So it's a few postcodes, basically. All the other areas are larger areas, so you can select postcodes. If you want to type in your postcode, it'll allow you to do that, and then it'll find the output area that's relevant. And localities actually are just, they're included because they're the sort of areas that you would think of as the place where you live. So if you wanted to find out about Dunfermline, which is a town, you would just type in Dunfermline. So that's why those areas are probably more recognisable. So we could try that out. I haven't practiced this one. So what happens when you type an area is that the map here sort of gets populated by the boundaries. You can either select a boundary or you can start typing a place, and it goes away and finds the place, and then think you can compare it with one other place, but I won't bother doing that. And then this then produces the statistics for your area. We have topics at the top. So again, I haven't explained the questions that are in it, but I think I haven't got time to go into all that detail. But for under health, there's statistics on whether or not you provide care for somebody. So this sort of part of the system generates high-level summary statistics, which probably isn't actually the sort of thing you're wanting to use. But from the point of view of getting the data used, we've found that quite an attractive thing for people to use. I'll probably come back and show you a bit more of that later. Okay. Now. As I said, the other function in the website is called standard outputs, and again, this is probably, if anyone's used it, this is probably the sort of thing you're familiar with. So you can choose a topic, and what this now does is it gives you all the tables that we've published to date, which there are lots, in a drop-down menu. And you can select one, you select the table, you then can select an area out, and you can select as many geographic areas in this case as you want. And it goes away and builds the table. Okay. So this one actually is a new question where we've asked about particular health conditions, and it's a very detailed table. But why I was showing you that is that we've actually produced a table index which allows you to, so you can search in this, because this the website has so many tables on it, unless you know the exact detail of the one that you want, it's a very inefficient way of finding them. So we've generated this searchable tool, which allows you to type in whatever variable you're looking for, and then you can, it sort of gives you whatever tables are in the combination. So if you're particularly interested in whether or not people have got a car and then how far they go to work or study, those are the tables that you need to look at. So it's just if you are actually going to look at download detailed tables from the website, this is probably a useful tool for you to have. I'll talk about the other two just in general first of all. So we've got, as well as the table index, we've basically provided lots of hints and tips on how to use the Data Explorer, and we've been running courses for departments and some council areas and some schools on how to use the Explorer. And as I said, that's primarily because people have found it quite useful to have a chance to get their hands dirty and have an opportunity to ask us questions. Yes, so anyway, as I said, the other aspect of disseminating the results is trying to do work ourselves, and these are just some of the examples of charts from the reports that we've written, because there's been quite a lot of interest recently in government into using some sort of more visual methods, and these are some of the examples of the charts that we've included. So they're quite dynamic looking reports. Now, again, these are some more websites. What, as well as us using the statistics, I think what we've been trying to do is promote other people to use the data in their own systems. One of the aspects of the Data Explorer is you can download all the tables from what we call a data warehouse. So probably in your department there will be somebody who's already done that and possibly loaded it onto their own system. So you don't necessarily need to use our system to download the tables you want. So some of these projects, this is examples of other people that have used the data. Usually what they do, first of all, is just get all the data downloaded and into their own system. The NO5 dataset is quite a well-established system that the council use so that they can provide information to the local councillors about their areas. But I'll look at this, show you this DataShine system as another example. I don't really know enough about the background to this, but in terms of the geographic systems that are used in it. But what happened was there was a UCL project funded through the ESRC for England and Wales to take the census data and incorporate it into a mapping tool. Because we have some maps on our website, but they're basically they're static and they're very basic. So we didn't have the resources to do anything. But when we spoke to the people who created DataShine, they said, well, it was a very small amount of money. They just said it was their grant only covered England and Wales, but they said they could do the same thing for Scotland if we wanted. So it's every single variable that's been published, there's various sort of bars to allow you to quickly go somewhere else. That's just changing the colour. Anyway. And also, if you zoom in and out, it changes the actual data that it's plotting. So you can't really tell from this, but if you hover over an area, it begins to give you some information about the area code, for example, where the data. You can download the actual data from this map if you wanted. But if you zoom out, it then shows you the output area data, so it's much more detailed. So it's a very good system to play about with. There are some they're very receptive to feedback as well. So they've changed a few things between the England and Wales system that was originally set up and the Scottish one. So basically, from our point of view, this is ideal because it's somebody that's got it. Huge expertise in the area. They've taken the data and are doing lots with it. So that's it's just that we've been trying to look for opportunities like that more than we had in the past. Okay, so I'll talk a wee bit about. So I suppose what I'm trying to demonstrate here is the kind of things we've been doing, both in terms of publishing the data ourselves, but also helping other people use it. So this is an example which I think Zhijiang, who's in the audience, will help me with this. Traditionally, or my understanding when I started in census was that this flow data that I was talking about, travel to study or migration, was not very well used, other than a few academics who had a huge expertise in it and vast amounts of data. But people like local authorities who are interested in this kind of data, it was so difficult to get access to it and download it and difficult to use that in the end of the day, it wasn't very well used for 2001. So we were keen to work with Transport Scotland to try and just work out what the barriers were and help them wherever possible as a sort of pilot to other organisations accessing it. So in terms of how you get the data, There's a website called Nomis, which I think has been around for a long time, where you can download some of the flow data. But that flow data is basically local authorities to local authorities. It's not really very detailed. What's happened since 2001 was there was a bit of a culture change in government about the security that needed to be applied to data sets from the census. So a lot of data was published in 2001 that was really quite detailed and nowadays people would consider as being disclosive. So you might be able to tell something about somebody from this very detailed data. So therefore, that has changed and that's caused another problem. But what's happened is the UK data service is now much more available to people. It's not just academics that can use it, it's local authorities that can use it, for example. So what these detailed files tend to be lodged in the data service, and therefore you can access them. But the difference is you've got to sign up and say you won't give them to somebody else, you'll just use them for a project. So that's the sort of, that's what a bit of background really. So what we've been doing is working with the local authorities who, and Transport Scotland, who want to use the data. And another problem that we came across was that although the data service has the data available, Transport Scotland themselves don't want the data, they don't have the skills to use it, they want some contractor to do it. So that sort of scenario isn't really catered for very well, or it wasn't at the time that they wanted the data. So we had to work with them to set up a data sharing agreement. So this was slightly labour intensive, but we did it anyway because we thought it's worth doing this in order to get the data out there. And in the meantime, the UK Data Service has kind of caught up. So now it is possible for contractors to get access to data. They just have to also sign a few agreements. So it was more just in this particular instance that it was, I think I've probably mentioned that. In that case, we were sort of trying to get the data to the user at the time they wanted it, rather than them having to wait another year, which was the sort of timescale we were talking about. Okay, so the next example is another. So in National Records of Scotland, we have got quite a small team whose job primarily is to publish the data, answer queries, produce extra tables if anyone wants them. But we were conscious that the Scottish Government have a huge need for analysis and tables and reports. They're the experts and they know about the topic. So what we did was the Registrar General, who is in charge of NRS, can commission, effectively, members of Scottish Government to come and do work on his behalf. And so we set up a couple of pilots where the equality statistician in Scottish Government came and analysed. He wrote two very weighty reports. He looked at all the equality statistics that were published, so that would be gender, race, religion, ethnicity, national identity, and health, I think, were the keys ones that he looked at. So the example was that he would come into Lady Bell House, and rather than writing a very detailed specification for a table that he wanted and us running it and then him saying, oh, it's not the one he wants. Basically, he was able to do the analysis himself on a restricted set of data. There was quite a lot of overhead because he produced his tables and we still had to publish them and check them. So it wasn't totally without resource from our end. But this is just a bit of an example from him of what he basically got out of it. So the whole point of it was that the census is the main source of data that they use for equalities legislation and what they call an equalities evidence base. So these were the variables that he was interested in. And the main thing that they need the census for is that they're all small groups of people, generally. So for 10 years, he's just waiting for the census to come along, and then he gets his new set of data, effectively. And this is where I work. So this is the National Records of Scotland, a very unimpressive building, although it looks a nice day there, actually. So this is him talking, actually, and he did obviously benefit from our advice. He talked to us about what he wanted, and from his point of view, he then understood the data that he was using because he was able to understand the kind of context and read a lot of the metadata that we had. However, he was able to look at different combinations. So I suppose this is more like when you would be using the microdata in a laboratory situation. This is what you can do. But from a Scottish Government analyst, that option wasn't available at this point in time. So generally, his impression of this process was very positive, and I won't go on, but he produced, we published another 100 tables over and above all the tables we'd already produced. He came up with another 100, which are published on our website. Yes, he was very, he did lots of graphics. We've got a, Scottish Government have got some software that does these square things. So I don't know if people like them, but he does. And yeah, well, I won't go into the findings, but they definitely got quite a lot of publicity. He was on Twitter and various headlines. It was quite a lot of it was about ethnicity that the adverts came in. Then I think the Mail didn't like the fact that they published all these extra tables, so that was the downside, I suppose. Anyway, in terms of what this is leading to, I mean, we don't have many resources at the moment because what's tending to happen is the kind of main production is running down. So there are probably not that many resources for us to support it. But we're still keen to hear from people. This is at the moment only for Scottish Government. We're keen to hear about people that might want to do more work. And we have someone at the moment doing work on the long-term conditions question. So that's a new question where we've asked people to choose from a list of conditions. One examples are autism and Asperger's and learning disabilities. So they're quite specific conditions that were of interest to policy at the time of the design. So that's being used now, and that's definitely beneficial from our point of view, because they're really quite complicated questions. But we are coming to consider what this means for other users. It's not possible for other people to come into the government, but there are other potential safe settings being set up. So some of the lessons from this will be relevant to that, I think. So finally, I'll just quickly go over the last bit of work we're doing. And as I said, we're working with schools, and this is in collaboration with my husband, who works in Edinburgh University. So it's slightly opportunistic, I would say. But what happened? So this has basically come out from a few things that were happening anyway. I was giving lectures to maths and social subjects, trainee teachers. So in Murray House, there's a session on how to do projects using data or something. So I've been doing that for a few years. The Mathematical Council had a conference and they had a session for maths teachers on real data. Then we got invited to do something about, there was a thing called a Geography Skills Day where in the morning they were doing census, and in the afternoon I think they were out on Loch Lomond doing something more practical. So they probably, I'm not sure, I don't know how often they do census analysis in their skills days. Then we've done a few things in Aberdeen for some reason. I think the people in Loch Lomond, one person from Aberdeen said they don't get out very often, so we had to go up there. So in terms of the format of the training we've been doing recently is just a bit of an overview about what census results were, because that's not something I've included in today's presentation, I'm afraid, but you know, we do a bit about what the census tells us about Scotland. Then a bit of a practical, we've got a practical worksheet that people use, and what I've done is I've got a blog that I've used to sort of put up any extra information that might be useful. And in fact, this is my holiday. There's other entries later, earlier on there to do with maths courses. So, it's all. So in terms of just, I'll explain, the reason this is kind of quite appropriate for the current curriculum in Scotland is that there are, within the thing called Curriculum for Excellence, which some of you may have heard of, most of you possibly won't have, but this is the new approach to teaching in schools in Scotland. And one of the key things is that it's not just the responsibility of the maths teacher to teach statistics, it's the responsibility of all teachers. So if you're doing home economics and you're making cakes, there's numeracy in that, and the geography teachers are supposed to be talking about statistics. So that's the philosophy. The other bit of background. This is the bit my husband talks about, so apologies, because I probably don't get it quite right. But the Curriculum for Excellence aims to develop these four things called capacities. And in terms of the statistics that we are teaching, we are helping them become responsible citizens and effective contributors. So this is the kind of rationale for why the teachers are about to get a 2-hour course in statistics. And as I said, there's various places where the statistics appear in their first 3 to 15 years. That's what's called broad education, and then there's in specific bits of the curriculum. So most of what we're doing actually fits in better with the senior school. So where we're going with this work is, so far we've kind of done lots of bits of things, which people seem to quite like. We are going to publish the worksheet in a more sort of usable form so that it can be used on its own, because at the moment it's designed to be used having had an introduction. The National Records of Scotland have already got an education function, which currently deals with the use of archival material by history teachers, but we're going to broaden that out, and also they have a link with Education Scotland, because there is a website called Studying Scotland, which schools are encouraged to look at, but it doesn't actually currently have anything about the census, so it's a bit of a gap, and I think we're going to address that. My husband's going to go back to some of the teachers that we've worked with to see how much they've used them. But there's quite a lot more interest in statistics at the moment within schools, partly because of things like big data. It sounds much more interesting, but it's a way of statisticians and statistics being introduced a bit more. So we've had good feedback from people that have been doing other statistics courses. And finally, because I'm on the education committee in the Royal Statistical Society, we're going to try and develop it with them as well. Okay, so nearly at the end. The final thing is just to tell you that we are planning for the next census in 2021, and the main thing that's happening at the moment is we're going to ask users what they require. The way we're doing it is it's called a topic consultation. So we don't want to look at particular details of particular questions. We want to know from you, do you want information about what sort of information do you want about migration would be? It's the sort of question we're asking. But what we're asking you to do is justify why you want it and the sort of things you use it for, so that we can effectively, I suppose, grade how big a demand this will be. And other sorts of considerations will be, is there other data about this somewhere else? So, the consultation is quite detailed, but the reason for that is we want to weigh up the need for the data in a census against possible other options. One thing to say is, if anyone is aware of events, the consultation is starting next week and it will go on till the middle of January. And I suppose if anyone has got events that are coming up, maybe November, December, when people are probably thinking about responding, let me know, and we'd be happy to support that. And finally, I think there's a newsletter you can get on our website, and that's our details. That's it. Thank you. Process applied.
Yeah.
So anything that's published has been through that.
So the output area one is the finest one you published, but yeah, in an unrestricted way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you download the tables? I was just wondering if they come with spatial attributes, or yeah, is it possible to download information in a spatial format?
Well, there's quite a lot of different ways you can, places you can download the data. I did think this was probably a question you'd ask. It seemed like a very obvious one. I know that there's geographic information. NIS are responsible for producing the geographic information, but there's also a big Scottish platform where you get all the geographic information for Scotland as a whole. Does anyone know what that is?
Scottish Data Data Infrastructure. It's a metadata catalogue for all the spatial data sets that are available.
So, yeah, I suppose basically on our website you can get all the tables and all the statistics from the data warehouse, or you can go to that's the best one at the moment. There's an option, there's a possibility to Infuse, which is the UK data services equivalent of our website. We'll have all our tables on it eventually, but it doesn't. But then I think you'd probably get the geography, but someone here will tell you.
I was going to say, I can't remember whether the output data areas are actually published as a spatial data set, but I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, you can obviously then join them up with the tables.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely, I'll find out from my colleagues.
I can chip in. In general terms, for any students, the general process which we'll come to at some point, of course, is you download the geography units, whatever they are. Certainly, I'm thinking of Scottish neighbourhood statistics, so I might be slightly off target. But yes, you download the geography units coded by, with the relevant zone code, whatever, and then join in reams and reams of statistics as you see feet from tabular data. So, if anyone heard me going about tabular data yesterday, that's the
A mechanism, which I don't know if whether the data actually supports it, but a table join service, which is an OGC mechanism that allows you to join geography with tabular data. It needs the tabular data to be in a certain form to it's not as well developed as we want, but Aspire are talking about using it as part of their download capability.
I mean, I'm sure there was discussions that this, when this system was set up, it doesn't have all the things it should have for open data and five star, whatever.
Well, you can't do geography with five star.
Okay. Anyway, I think various people, you know, I think it hasn't, it doesn't, it wasn't as when it was produced, it was probably what you could produce at the time, and now that's what we're using. But anyway, I was just demonstrating this is an output area, so that's the. That's the code, and that's the area which probably is in the middle of nowhere. But we'll have a few people in it, and in fact, if it works, you could find out many people are in it. So there's 51 households.
The output areas are on the SDI.
Right. Okay. So.
Sometimes the problem is not the data, which is great, but the software. Sometimes you have to mass out the data to make it join.
Yeah.
That's another story for another time.
So that's the smallest area. And I would suggest going to the data warehouse just to see what is available there.
Actually, while software got mentioned, I'm a computing teacher, and it slightly disappoints me that computer science wasn't there as one of the groups of teachers that we'd approach.
Oh, right.
Because
under
curriculum of excellence, our information systems units have all gone, and they need some kind of computer science. We still have information systems design development part right through the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And I would think there's a lot of potential there, particularly as census data was always one of the key studies before with the standard grade.
Right. No. Well, as I said, this is slightly kind of what we've been able to do and the sidelines, but I'll be very happy to speak to you.
And the second point, if I may, did I see something that macOS X, OS 10 wasn't something that would support the search facility at the beginning there?
I can see if I can find that. I remember they said that they put up some restrictions to one of the, on the website, but is that a big problem?
Well, yes.
I feel
neither of these Microsoft products.
No, no. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the table index.
Just
yeah.
the table
it's just the table index.
Index.
That's definitely.
But even that should be able to be run in Excel on Mac.
Mm-hmm. It's so just it's that was another.
No, sorry, I don't want to use Excel, which is spreadsheet. I want to still have databases.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. I mean, a lot of these things we've tried to introduce to help people. It's been all a wee bit. The resources are not brilliant, so it's kind of we've done it in our team. And so try and look up the table index. That's what that warning's there for. But yes. Any more? Sorry.
In the middle there, where you were talking about the fellow that came in and generated the custom tables and stuff, I'm assuming that either he was essentially typing database queries or he was sitting very close to somebody who was and correcting them every 10 seconds.
No, well, we use SAS, a thing called SAS, and that, so all the Scottish Government statisticians are trained in the same software. So he was behaving like he's doing exactly the same as we were doing, but. Okay. You have to put certain constraints so that you can't go and access all the data.
But he was using your software within the constraints.
And I suppose it seems slightly odd to highlight that, but my experience was 10 years ago, nobody used it, apart from the team in NRS or GRO at the time, and anyone that got a table, or people that were using the, what are called a VML, there's a sort of secure micro laboratory. And that's quite difficult to use.
So, have maybe 10 people done what he did, or 5?
Yeah, about 5 or 6.
Okay, so you have a bunch of, in effect, case studies of how people would come in and do analyses if they had, like, table-level access to what your primitive data was. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've got a really good template for the kind of service that you might want to expose, say, in the 2021 timeframe.
I think so. I think there's quite a lot of tension between that and just the whole what it requires you to do in terms of support.
I mean, assuming that the resources fall.
Because I think there's something about helping people understand the data through a combination of pointing them to the things that are already written. That you don't necessarily know they're there, and then having a bit of somewhere to discuss issues with, that's probably what the value of it is. And it's just that I think government statisticians this is probably me with my UK Statistics Authority hat on, that it's very frustrating that people in government tend to just think the only people they're doing the statistics for are the minister and the advisor. That was definitely 20 years ago. Culture has got better, and the Stats Authority are saying it's the public that needed the statistics. But
yeah, perfect opportunity to ask a question.
More on the back, and I'll talk about that. Yeah, I just have a question about the consultation that you open up. Mm-hmm. I know there's other services that provide to statistical data, census ish data, like something like NASA or Business Morris. They're able to take specific requests for questions. You don't take specific questions, you just take general ideas and themes that
At this stage, it's about the topic, and how you ask the question is the next bit of the development, really.
And do you look for themes that come? I assume you get some from government, other agencies, charities as well.
I mean, there's a sort of UN regulation on what's a census and what should be in it and what shouldn't be in it.
Alright.
So there's a bit of that context, and then there's the sort of topics that we think are going to come up this time are some probably income, because it's been an issue in the last 2 censuses that never got into the census, and sexual orientation, which is a protected characteristic from the equalities legislation. So from the point of view of government policy, that's a whole that has changed since 2011, and therefore that's one of the areas that we've kind of got in our consultation that might be a topic. And then there's a whole bit then that says than anything else. So, but it wouldn't be a question. You wouldn't get a question in.
Right, just for commercial purposes. I know that charities that would pay a sum and they would pay the question.
That's not really. It's such a big burden, and there is legislation that I suppose specifies what should be in a census as well. That's probably where we have to go back to all the time.
How do you see the census developing in open data world? The Scottish Government have signed up to the G8 pledge for open data. Mm-hmm. This is by definition data owned by the public, so mm-hmm. they pay for it. Mm-hmm. How do you see the tension between the statistician wanting to hide things for anonymity and the public wanting the raw data?
I suppose all what I know in terms of the things that are happening is certainly we'll be working quite closely with ONS on a lot of the methodology. So in terms of the approach to disclosure control, that assumes that the system that we use is a tabular system. So the assumptions for the last census was you produce a table and you have various ways of anonymising it, but you have a set specified number of tables. And at the moment, when we get another request for another table, we have to look at it in the context of all the other published tables. So it's not really very flexible. But I think one of the areas of research will be how could you set up a database and a system so that people could certainly query the data in a flexible way, and that the system itself would be able to make sure it wasn't disclosure. It was disclosure controlled. You don't have this sort of concave method of having tables. But I'm sure it's a very live issue in the planning, and the neighbourhood statistics thing that you were talking about, that's changed recently to be an open data platform, which I don't know whether it's because it's called open data, it means it's open data, but they're trying to address some of the issues through, I think you mentioned Inspire, they're working with them. So I don't really know, but I can see it's definitely an area that we're looking at as ONS and we're looking at.
So
first,
final question? It's a big question. It's always a very unfair question, but I remember when the last census was being run, there was considerable debate then if that's going to be the last census. Your government now knows so much about us that actually we don't need to do it anymore. And then on the other hand, where we have a very rapidly changing, particularly the moment with immigration and so on, local authorities having to do mid-census estimates, annual estimates, and saying, well, actually, doing something every 10 years just doesn't match the modern world. So is that discussion still ongoing? It seems to have stopped, as far as I'm concerned. I haven't heard anything about it since it stopped about in 2011.
In terms of our plans for another census in Scotland, we're saying we're planning for another one, and that's the extent of the programme. Run another census, but ONS they're running what's called a census transformation program. It's got three parts to it, and I think they've talked about it, at various events quite recently, so it's fairly well publicised. So the first bit of their program is to run a census in 2021 using the internet as the main kind of vehicle for responding. That's the key difference. The second angle is in researching alternative methods researching how not to have another one in 2031. So it used to be called Beyond 2011, it's now called Beyond 2021. And the third thing is, I think from about maybe 2017, they're going to publish what they call, I don't know, experimental or alternative estimates. So they've got another bit of work looking at how you could produce population using other sources. So they're, and we just, at the moment, I think we don't have resources to match all that work. And also, we don't tend to have the same, we haven't got as much access to DWP type data ONS have. So I think that work will certainly lead them to include what. Scotland will be looking at that work and hopefully building on it, but not as we're not at the same timetable.
But in terms of Scotland in 2021, the Minister has said yes, or is that decision?
Well, I think the Minister said yes, we're allowed to plan for it. I think that's what we're allowed to say.
That's okay.
So, I think it's subject to funding. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's it. It may be time to let you off the hook. Well, thank you before I say thank you. Thank you all for coming. That's a great turnout, first talk. So we will move on shortly to Tube Tricks across the TV at Library Bar, so do come along for that and join in and get to meet up with AGI people and colleagues. So thank you to my helpers for helping me keep me assisting, and it just remains for us to say thank you indeed to Cecilia for an interesting talk. Thank you very much.